Got it.
Good morning, Mr. Kaiso.
Morning, morning, Dallas. So I was checking whether you are around.
Oh, no, I'm around.
Okay. Why don't you start, Dallas?
I'm just checking.
Okay.
I'm just checking how many members were present. Okay.
Thank you.
Raiso.
Pardon?
It's 9:05. I don't know if you want us to commend that there are six members in the meeting now. I'm trying to help Ms. Tikhale, but I'm also struggling to help her, so I need to check with the IT people if they can assist her. But there are six members in the meeting as we speak, so we can commence with the meeting.
Just check and assist the others. But can you first take us through to item 1 so that we start it?
I'm just opening the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, honorable members. The guy is the chairperson of the committee, Mr. Budelezi, is unfortunately not able to attend this meeting as well as the meeting held on Friday as agreement in his family, and the rules of the National Assembly dictate that we need to elect an acting chairperson in the event that the chairperson is not able to perform his duties. I will therefore call for nomination for acting chairperson for the rest of this week. Can I have a nomination, please? Honorable Matafa, recognized?
Yes, good morning, members. Good morning, Jeremy. My apologies if I may sound a bit strange. I'm struggling with network, so I had to drive. I'm at some top of a hill in the car. And for the purpose of this proceeding, I'll recommend the name of Honorable Tolisile Kaiso from the African National Congress to act as the chairperson of the committee in the absence of the chair until the chair resumes his duties as appointed by the committee. Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you, Darren.
Thank you, Mr. Matafa. Is there a seconder to Mr. Matafa's recommendation?
My name is Kenny Morolong. I stand to second the nomination.
Thank you, Mr. Morolong. Mr. Kaiser, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I accept.
Are there any more nominations? None. Mr. Kaiser, you can therefore take the chair. I'm just going to try and help Mr. Khale join the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for giving me this opportunity to chair this meeting. And let me...
Hello, Mr. Khaled. Sorry, okay. I just started the meeting. I'm struggling. I also don't know how to... sorry.
Karen, can we switch off your mic? Let me take this opportunity, honorable members, to welcome you in this today's portfolio committee meeting, whose purpose is to receive a briefing from SALGA. And let me also welcome the delegation of SALGA in this meeting. And I hope you are there. I haven't still received the head of the delegation of SALGA, but I want to assume that they are here. So you are welcome to this meeting today. So we'll have a presentation that is going to be made by SALCA, and thereafter we will have engagement by members on the presentation of SALCA. After the tabling of division of revenue. So let me check first, are there any apologies that will be honorable member? Karen?
Chair?
Honorable Sangui?
I'll have to leave the meeting early, Chair, because I'm attending also another meeting, and I don't want to put two devices on. I like to concentrate on one meeting so I can give my best ability to the meeting. So I'll have to leave early. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tanguy. Are there any apologies, member? I think other members are struggling to connect. They will find us on the way. So those are the only apologies that we have received. And thank you very much, honorable members. Let me take this opportunity to give SALCA opportunity to brief this committee on the division of the revenue, and also how do they respond to that, and how do they advise us to move forward. So I'm not sure who's representing the head of the SALCA delegation. Can I give SALCA the opportunity to introduce your team? What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you around 35 to 40 minutes as a package, but if it's not being honored as usual, will be taken during the process, but I'm hopeful that you'll be able to finish your presentation, and I'm going to call the leader of the delegation to speak. You decide how you then line up your other team members as you are going to present. I'm not going to go back to them again, but you then take control, but I'll take control of the time. So can I give you opportunity, SALCA?
Chairperson, thank you. My name is Councillor Solomon Vanya, and I'm leading the SALCA delegation. With us in the meeting is Councillor Johnson and Mayor Khumutso Letsatsi. Mayor Khumutso Letsatsi will present on behalf of SALCA, and myself and Councillor Johnson will come in as and when the engagements and questions from the community. Thank you, Chair. If you may allow Mayor Khumutso Letsatsi to present.
Yes, you may proceed.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members of the committee. I think on our side, SALCA, I'm joined by the proceeding head of municipal finance, which would actually be the presentation, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Can't you just hand over to Nueva to basically take the committee through the presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Umuso. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. And good morning, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Councillor Montane, for the opportunity. SALCA's position on the budget speech as presented by the Minister of Finance proceeds as follows. As part of the introductory overarching comments, we begin from the budget program, the Khutla, which took place in December 2020, that was hosted by the Minister of Finance, who took cognizance of SALCA's long-standing view that local government allocation from the nationally raised revenue is inadequate studies conducted by the Public Affairs Research Institute, that is PARI. The names of the studies were the review of the local government executive chair, as well as the end of the road, which was published last year. However, SALGA acknowledges the national government's gloomy picture of the economic outlook and the fiscal challenges that are being faced by the country, further exacerbated by the unforeseen and continuing demand on the fiscal as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. SALGA commits to work with national government on resolving the challenges faced by the local government based on the activation of the resolutions taken at the budget forum of Huta held in December 2020. Next slide, please. In relation to the local government fiscal framework, SALGA is concerned with the proposed decrease in the equity equitable share to the tune of about 6.5 billion, which represents a reduction of 0.4% over the MTF. The 2020-2021 allocation in terms of the local government equitable share was 84.5 billion from last year, compared to 78 billion that is the projected allocation for the 2021 to 2022 financial year. This without with concern that this reduction is occurring in the backdrop of an ever-increasing number of poor households due to the effects of COVID-19, with the resultant also under-collection of revenue due to visited upon through to households by the unemployment. Further, the reduction in the local government equitable share does not serve our communities well in view of the prevailing economic condition, particularly with the increase in the unemployment figure per SAT-SA report. In fact, last week it indicated an increase of official unemployment rate to the tune of about 30.8%. This has this potential of impacting negatively on municipal revenue collection. In regards to the other component of the share for the local government sector, we note the marginal increase of 7.3% in conditional grants. However, we also observe that it will not ease the pressure on local government to address the growing infrastructure backlog caused by migration to the city. Next slide, please. In relation to revenue and expenditure management, own revenue by municipalities have declined during the COVID lockdown period, and whilst we welcome the extra 20 billion of the COVID-19 relief that was appropriated following the budget review last year. However, the relief did not match the revenues collected in the previous year, according to the survey conducted by the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. Municipalities have collected 20% of the bill revenue during the period April 2020. And the collection rate for the corresponding period in 2019 was 93%. The Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation survey reflected that in the case of four metros, the own revenue collected was around 4.3 billion less compared to the previous period. The expenditure requirements of local government have shifted to cater for COVID-19 related to needs of the communities, which were mostly emergencies. These expenditure on goods and services focused on water, which has increased due to demand from municipalities to cater for COVID-19 related preventative measures like sanitizing public facilities. Next slide, please. on the segment dealing with revenue and expenditure management, we take cognizance that in terms of the study commissioned by SAGA and the FFC in 2015, the study titled Cost of Basic Services, which reflects that the subsidy amount from suitable share are still significantly lower than the cost of providing these services to the poor. The subsidy is lower than the cost per household for the basic level of service, especially in the far-flung areas with those related topographical challenges. Poor households further tend to consume more than the basic level. Therefore, SALGA supports and will take part in a new work group to research the actual cost of rendering these services and ensure that there is a differentiated approach when collecting the basic services component and allocating the basic services component rather of the equitable share through to municipalities. Next slide, please. The debt owed to municipalities and by municipalities cannot be addressed without addressing the underlying systematic and structural issues. We recognize that a holistic approach is required by government, and to this end, we welcome the establishment of the Multidisciplinary Revenue Committee, which seeks to continue to implement the recommendations from the IIMTT, comprising of the following stakeholders to proactively address inefficiencies in the revenue value chain. The stakeholders involve all major public entities, your ESCOM, the water boards represented by the Department of Water and Sanitation, National Treasury, and us as SALGA participate there in representing our member municipalities. The MDRC, its main purpose is to address the areas of shortcoming with the revenue value chain that primarily contribute to increasing inefficiencies in municipalities, further to stop the increasing debt owed to ESCOM, municipalities and water boards, as well as to transform financially distressed municipalities into smart and financially sustainable municipalities and use technology as a critical enabler for change. It is established the Multidisciplinary Revenue Committee at national, and it is intended that it will be replicated or cascaded further down into a provincial level to address the financial sustainability issues that they are experienced by municipalities. This is also another intervention seeking to address the aspects particularly as highlighted in the previous slide of the poor revenue collection as well to augment the local government equitable share. The next slide is just a graphic indicating how it would operate in terms of structure. I've spoken through to that while dealing with the previous slide. I would request that we move through to the next slide. In the aspect dealing with the infrastructure grants, in the earlier slide, I did indicate that we note the marginal increase of 7.3% in conditional grants, and then also noting that it will not ease the pressure on local governments to address the growing infrastructure backlog caused by migration through to cities. Further, the poorly capacitated administration perform poorly on capital expenditure and conditional grants that are taken away. We need to put in place capacity building measures to fast-track capital spending in municipalities. For instance, we have municipalities which have had their integrated public transport network grant that had been taken away because of failure to spend. We advocate that these municipalities be assisted by the Department of Transport experts to fast track the implementation of the rapid bus transportation system. As SALGA, representing organized local governments welcome the allowance of 5% on the municipal infrastructure grant to be dedicated to asset management to enable repairs and maintenance. There is also a planned budget program, the JUSA, on asset management and investment between SALGA, National Treasury and COXA to identify and solve systematic and structural challenges through policy proposal. Next slide, please. What we seek to see in the Division of Revenue Bill is that it should also provide for the creation of an effective capacity to support municipalities to root out and prevent corruption, particularly in the period of pandemic. Also to provide for a mechanism to support municipalities to build technical, managerial, and leadership capacity in the new normal. However, SALGA must be involved in the study of consolidating capacity building initiatives undertaken by Treasury. The MSIG must be disaggregated to show the cost of regulatory compliance, e.g. The MSCOA, which is a cost to municipalities. Further, the grants to undertake the district development model studies must be monitored in the 21 identified districts to inform future allocations to the batch, to the next batch of districts or intermediary cities to form part of the district development model. Next slide, please. As part of our conclusion on the budget as delivered by the Minister last Wednesday, we acknowledge that while the amount of transfers to local government has been growing, albeit from a very low base and at an average of 2.3% year on year, which we note that is still below the average inflation rate for the 2020 calendar year, which stands at 3.3%. There is a need for a radical review of the proportions of allocations to the 6 years of government based on studies conducted by PARI, namely the review of the local government equitable share, as well as the end of the road studies. Here we're talking about the radical allocation between the 6 years of government. Also, with the latest official unemployment rate sitting at over 30.8%, the collection of own revenue by municipalities shall be impacted negatively by this development and exacerbate the decline due to COVID-19 lockdown. Whilst we welcome the extra 20 billion COVID relief that was allocated in the review, this did not match revenues collected in the previous year. There is a need for a further relief package for the forthcoming year. As indicated, I think with the unemployment figures, note that the country is still experiencing the after effects of the lockdown and the pandemic itself. It will also be quite necessary that a relief in order to alleviate the pressures resulting from poor collection, which have, in some instances have reduced to up to 20% compared to the 93% in the previous year, as alluded to in the earlier slide. Further, the local government sector's expenditure requirements have shifted to cater for COVID-19 related needs of the communities that are mostly urgent in most instances in order to fund for PPE, sanitization, etc. Now, while noting the resource needs for the sector, SALGA has organized local government and in line with the SALGA agency resolution of 13 June 2020, it is committed and seized with measures to enhance accountability for the resources allocated through to the local government here, and the measures being implemented and underway to ensure that with these resources there is better accountability, improved positive outcomes, working with in collaboration with various stakeholders. And then at the conclusion, with the current division of revenue bill, it would be expected that improvements in local government performance will be realized with the activation of the 2020 budget forum Lephutla resolution. This statement also emanates in the opening remarks that we understand the gloomy economic climate that the country finds itself with, and the challenges that affect the local government cannot be dealt with overnight, and we welcome systematic and concerted efforts to ensure that over time these challenges and the appropriation deficiencies in terms of the allocation are actually resolved as undertaken during the 2020 budget forum, the Lephutla resolution. I thank you, Chairperson, and then I'm handing over through to our leadership, the councillor representatives who are with us here to make any other remarks. I thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you, Chair. Like I indicated that we would allow the presentation to be presented to the committee, and we'll just come in when engagements arise, as and when there's clarity seeking questions and a need to expand on what has been presented. Thank you, Chair.
It was a very brief presentation. Honorable Member, there's a presentation, so I'm going to invite members to engage with the presentation. I'll give each just a whooping 5 minutes each, because we seem to be having sufficient time to engage with SALGA. So let me invite his honorable member. Let me take him. We got already. Let me check here. Yes, can I take him here? Honorable Sheikh. And who else?
Honorable Makapa.
Honorable Makapa.
Honorable Sangwini.
Honorable Sangwini. Any more hands? At least we have got 5 minutes to engage.
Honorable teacher.
Is there any more, any other hands? Honorable Member, you've got your own 5 minutes to engage, Honorable Member. Let me start with Honorable Sheikh.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much for that presentation. I think my question is going to take a different approach today, Chairperson. Now, SALGA has a very important responsibility, particularly in terms of local government. I'd like SALGA to tell me, what measures are you putting in place to try and ensure that municipalities are governed more effectively, that the capacity at municipalities to be able to deliver services to the people improves? The second thing is this, that what measures are you putting, or guidance are you giving to municipalities, to try and make them independent or self-sufficient in terms of taking development, because we know that municipalities are having a problem in terms of revenue collection, and of course some of them are very rural and deep rural, and they have limited revenue that they can collect from people on the ground. Now, what are you doing to guide them and advise them on trying to become self-sufficient, take business to those particular areas, developing them into little urban or semi-urban towns, so that, of course, there can be greater development and they become self-sufficient? The other thing is this, and a very important point is this, that whilst we talk about, and I must agree with you, that the limited resources that you give to local governments is not enough, it needs to increase. However, the question that we need to ask, would the resources that is allocated to local governments, are they using it optimally? And the answer, I think, is clearly no. Now, the question that arises is, if you take the issue of procurement alone, and I'm sure you are aware of this, although not much has been done by at all levels of government to try and address this challenge, and that is the amount of money that we are losing to the procurement processes starting at local government levels, where it is estimated that we lose approximately 40% on goods and services, which is estimated to run into approximately 300 billion rand in South Africa annually. Then the other thing is this. In terms of the quality of services by public representatives, and I think you'll agree with me that public representatives today report to political parties. Do you believe that you need to change that and make them more accountable to the municipality, to the office of the speaker, which in essence is what should actually happen, so that there is a level of communication between them and the people on the ground? And lastly, and I know that the Minister of Finance is attempting to go on the zero-based budgeting process, which I believe is part of the solution to the problem that we have right now. There is a lack of communication between the municipality, the public representative official, and the people on the ground, as a result of which people protest and riot because they are not part and parcel of the decisions that are taken. And I strongly believe that if you engage with the people in the particular areas of a municipality that was at all times in terms of what you intend to do over a five-year period, and if you keep that and you comply with that, you will not have protest action. But what we find is more often than not, people on the ground are left out. These, a lot of which is imposed on them, and they become frustrated when they don't get home, so the roads are not sorted out, or they have other challenges. Should there not be greater engagement between the public and the municipalities and the public representatives in the decision-making of what is in the best interest? I'll stop there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh. Let me give Honorable Matafa.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now, I don't think my questions will take 5 minutes, but I appreciate the generosity from your Vice Chair. Maybe let me start by welcoming the presentation. Thanks to the SALGA team for the presentation. And I will start, Chair, by taking almost a similar starting engagement like Honorable Sheikh, in terms of the role that SALGA plays to ensure that municipalities are functioning optimally. But my question would have been arisen from the input that the presentation made around establishment of another working group. Now, from past experience, I know that SALGA has working groups of their own. Now, my question would be, how do SALGA assess the efficiency and impact of this working group in assisting municipalities to improve their performance? Maybe the response could be to say, on an annual basis, we review the work that we have done, the recommendations, implementation, and the net impact as far as service delivery is concerned. I'm interested on that one part, Chair. The second one is on the issue of the budget allocated to local government. We agree that maybe it might not be sufficient for local government to be able to meet all its obligations. However, in the, I think it was 2 weeks back, we had a presentation from National Treasury, which speaks to funds that were withheld from certain municipalities because they did not comply with DORA regulations. And I think the municipalities affected were in the Free State and in the Northwest. Now my question is the problem the lack of funds allocated to municipalities, or the problem is the inability to spend the little that they have? Because for me, to keep on pumping money into a system that is not able to utilize those funds, we're actually exacerbating the problem of underperformance and underspending. So my question would be, what is SALGA doing to assist the municipalities to be able to comply, firstly, with the legislation, secondly, with the regulations and requirements that certain conditional grants come with as a way for them to be able to have access to them? And I think, Chair, it also speaks to the issue of accountability. Is SALGA satisfied that there is thorough accountability as far as local government is concerned, as far as the procurement space is concerned? The third one, Chair, is on the issue of the pronouncement by the President. And this the President has been mentioning time and time and over again, on the need to professionalize the public space. Now, at national level, we know the efforts that have been taken. The question is SALGA picking up a response from municipalities to be able to professionalize their space? And if there are efforts that have been taken there, how far and what is the observation from SALGA in municipalities achieving this particular task? And the last one, Chair, is based on the on slide 8 of the presentation, which mentions the need for capacity building measures to improve performance and capital budget. It almost ties to the initial point that I raised. Has SALGA identified what could be the root cause of this particular underperformance? And are there measures that SALGA would have recommended to municipalities? And if so, what is the response or the reception of municipalities are as far as this particular recommendation, both from SALGA, Treasury, as well as pronouncements made by the President are concerned? For now, I'll pause the Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity to participate in the conversation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mataka. Honorable Sabine.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think I'm partly covered by my other colleagues, but there's just two or three points that I want to raise, Chair, in terms of the poor performance of our municipalities. And I think SALGA is not fully honest with us or not giving us a way forward as to what are they going to do to ensure that this poor performance in municipalities can be curbed, because municipalities is at the heart of service delivery. Now, if we have municipalities that are not functioning, Chair, which means the poorest of the poor don't get water on time, they don't have electricity on time, and so forth, and all of those services that the municipalities need to render are not being rendered. So I want to have SALGA to give us their plan to ensure that we have fully functioned municipalities. as we are going into local government elections currently, Chair, does Salga know how many municipalities are functional and are in a good state? Because, Chair, we will be taking some municipalities as the EFF, so I don't want us to take municipalities that are collapsing. Maybe Salga can give us a proper report as to what is happening in all of the municipalities across the country, because they are in a verge of collapsing. Secondly, Chair, we have always advocated that Salga must get the majority of the funding and provinces, and so budgets must be cut. But now, if we are having municipalities that can't use the funding and poor performance of these funds based on corruption, fraud, and all of maladministration, what is Salga's plan in ensuring, if we have to advocate for more funding for them, to ensure that these funds are not mismanaged? What is the consequent management that Salga has put in place that these funds don't get misused by this corrupt activities? And then I want to also go into the matter of the funding that was stopped and not given by National Treasury to some of the municipalities. Now, how did that impact on service delivery? And what is Salga's plan to ensure that that doesn't happen to other municipalities where money are withheld by National Treasury because of individuals that didn't adhere to the PFMA standards and so forth? So what is the Salga's plan in ensuring that doesn't happen again? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tangin. Honorable Peter.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Chairperson. May I switch off my video? Chair?
Yes, you can switch it off.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to take this opportunity to thank Salva and for the presentation they made to us today. I just want to ask one or two questions. While Salga argues for increased funding, Parliament as an oversight arm of the state cannot ignore the factors contained in the AG's report on the lack of capability and capacity. And National Treasury has also raised the issue of the capacity at municipalities. Chairperson and members, we remember that one of the DGs of National Treasury even indicated that municipality officials, some of them, and far more than them, and yet they always call for capacity and capability. So how can the municipality have challenges in terms of a lack of capability and capacity to spend money? None of these challenges are new, Chairperson. We repeatedly raise these issues year after year. And I want to ask Salga, in your opinion, why is the performance to spend in municipalities so poor? For example, Salga acknowledges that the IPTN, which is the Integrated Public Transport Network, is a big example. Our poorest of the poor live very far from their wealth and economic activities. And they are the ones that spend the most on transport. And one would have thought that as Salga and municipalities, the provision of affordable and accessible transport, as well as the safe transport, would be key in this regard. And then I just wanted to find out, how does Salga believe this matter can be remedied? Because it is important that they be remedied. You also state that the debt in municipalities and by municipalities cannot be addressed without addressing the underlying systemic and cultural issues. and structural issues. What are these systemic and structural issues that SALGA is referring to? Okay, Chairperson, I'll come back when given an opportunity again.
Thank you very much, Honorable Peter. Can I
just one point before the issue of ghost workers in ailing municipalities also. Can SALGA tell us how possible is it that municipalities can have these ghost workers, and what is it that they are doing that will result in cleaning up the human capital that is in excess and that is not needed but is being paid for by the municipalities? Municipalities are also owing third parties. Like, for example, we were given an indication that 25 of our municipalities own the workers. They don't pay over the third parties of UIF, they don't pay pensions, they don't pay other deductions that are made on the salaries of workers. What is SALGA doing to be able to address them? The other thing, Chairperson, I'm very sorry, I'm not well. The other thing, Chairperson, it is the issue of CWP and EPWP. I know EPWP falls under the Department of Public Works, and CWP falls under a contract. But the people who are employed or engaged as participants in EPWP and CWP are operating in municipal space. Why is the municipality not using this available human capital to be able to clean the cities and the towns, as well as the other infrastructure that needed in the community? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Peter. Can I give now Honorable Mlenza?
Thank you. What I mean, colleague, apologies once for my voice. It is also caught. And also would like to, if you allow me, to switch off my video. Chairperson, let me also join colleagues in welcoming the presentation. Just two things as a preamble. I am now getting used to this presentation. I mean, it's in the wet and dry. I will talk deeper into this when we meet again with SALGA. The usage of terminology and all, but definitely in terms of improving the implementation either from our side or from their side. But as I say, I will talk more about this the other day. The second one would be, I don't want to be seen to be addressing my colleague on other things here. But we are noticing, of course, that they are beginning to project themselves whether things are a right or a wrong going towards the local government election. But my few questions, I think there will be one or three to SALGA, would be, SALGA talking to us cutting the unfunded mandate. Right back, my friend. Can we be taken into cognizance and actually be briefed or updated as to what is the current state of affairs in municipalities regarding unfunded money? And what is SALGA doing regarding that? The second one, Chair, would be the parting shot of SALGA when they were presenting this morning. SALGA is talking reporting of a long-standing appropriation deficiency. Now, I'll throw the same question back to Zalga, but the other way around. Colleagues, many of them too. What is self-action towards a but you as Zalga think that we should now declare incapacity to spend as a crime, particularly crime to humanity, because the municipalities would be given money, appropriated money, whether deficiency or not, but they wouldn't spend such municipalities. We see time in, time back on a quarterly basis when you receive reports from Treasury that there is money which is not spent, which means there is no capacity to spend in municipalities. Coupled with this trend would be applicable to all municipalities if the perspective of the high jurisdiction. The start with national treasure, and if so, what a take on this finding. The other one, Chair, which also, which I think it was in there has been identification among other municipalities of poor performance due to lack of professionalism. Hence the commitment to professionalize municipalities. How far has local government gone with its commitment of trying to up the professional ethics of municipalities? Then, Chairperson, I will come back, Chairperson, if they would give us a chance for the second part. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. We'll check if time allows when they have received responses to see how do we go back to other areas that you get. But let me go here, Mayor Stella and your team. We had interaction with Zalga last year, and Zalga raised a number of critical issues which the committee took note of. So I don't think we'll be very far from our assessment as we engage with these questions as honorable members went to town about other areas that we want Zalga actually to assist us with. But let me go here just to ask some few questions here. In your submission, perhaps it's going to be important that we reflect also in terms of expenditure here. So in your submission, you restate the inadequacy of the local government equitable share. We know that the total local government transfers will decline by 2% over the MTF as part of the fiscal consolidation measures. 15.5 billion from the local government equitable share allocation, 2.7 billion from the general fuel levy, and 2 billion right from the conditional grants, and an overall decline of 4% in the real average growth rate of the local government in Peter. My question is, what did the budget forum Lukhotla of 2020 December resolve in regard to the equitable share? We just want to get that, because I think one of the honorable members asked this question. to give us way forward, what is the way forward from that point. The second question is that you, the conditional grants are set to increase by 2%, by 3% in real terms during the 2021 NCF, albeit from every very low base. The steady decline in basic services, infrastructure and capacity building transfers in real terms over the NCF is going to have an impact on the infrastructure backlog across municipalities, especially the rural. How does SALGA, my question is, how does the SALGA see this being resolved? We are very much interested in this. The evidence provided through the research of Financial Fiscal Commission and SALGA, whose evidence revealed that the subsidy amounts from equitable share are still significantly lower than the actual cost the household of providing basic services to the poor. What was the view of the budget forum on this differentiated approach when allocating the basic services component of the equitable share to municipalities? So that is my question. So the issue of debt being owed to municipalities and by municipalities cannot be addressed without addressing the underlying systemic and structural issues. What are these systemic changes you propose? The structural changes. I think my honorable members have actually asked the question of what was the way forward coming from that budget forum. You also welcome the establishment of the Multidisciplinary Revenue Committee, which seeks to continue to implement the recommendations from the Interministerial Task Team to proactively address inefficiencies in the revenue value chain. Our hesitancy as Parliament is informed by the fact that whenever there is a problem, another structure is attacked. When the regulatory environment that provides for control over financial expenditure and revenue generation in municipalities does not function properly, we want to get your comments on that. Because each and every time there's a problem, then we see a new structure is just being established. You acknowledge that poorly capacitated local government administration performs poorly on cases. I think this matter comes each and every time when SALGA makes a decision. And conditional grants get taken away and you say the solution for capacity building measures to be undertaken to facilitate spending in municipalities. This has repeatedly been said before, like my colleague has just said. So now, so what happened to the capacity building measures that are provided for by support agencies and budgets of municipalities? Because we do understand that there are capacity building measures that are taken or undertaken. But it's like we don't yield any results out of this. So we also want to get to know then, what are these agents, support agencies doing? So the other questions are, well, the unfunded mandate my colleagues really have spoken about. Throughout the year, throughout your presentation, you refer to resolutions of the budget forum with regard to division of revenue, which we have to pass. What did the budget forum have to say? I've asked that question. It's one interesting question that the committee wants to know, to draw your attention. That is why it comes now and then. You state that the Division of Revenue Bill must provide for the creation of effective capacity to support municipalities to root out and prevent corruption, particularly in this period of pandemic. Is this responsibility of the Division of Revenue Bill, when regulatory support to root out and prevent corruption already exists?
So my last question would be, your real revenue, your overall theme from your submission is that the division of revenue bill falls short in addressing, amongst other financing, for the delivery of basic services for the poor and the vulnerable. And that the unresolved structural and systemic challenges, which must include, of course, revenue generation, will continue to compound the challenges of local government. Are we realistic when suggesting this just a division of revenue bill challenge? Are we realistic about this? So these are my few questions that I wanted, as you respond and you also reflect on these critical areas that the committee is raising. So can I allow the Sarda to respond on
that? Chairperson, before Sarda responds.
Okay. Honorable Kenny, do you want to come in?
Yes, I do, Chair. Let me apologize for speaking after you had asked the final questions. And also let me start with a disclaimer that it's possible that the question I'm going to ask may have been asked by members. I'm struggling with connectivity challenges. That's one question. How does SAUDA support municipalities to implement AXA recommendations of financial and budget management? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Morulu. Can I give Ms. Stella and your team to respond?
Thank you, Chair. I will start off addressing the questions that were raised by Honorable Sheikh, but forgive me, I will not read the questions that the Honorable Member was asking, and I will just take it as in chronological order the way it started, and thereafter allow my colleague Meg Fumutu and Dustin Weber to end. The first question that was raised, Chair, was with regard to measures that are put in place to ensure that municipalities are ran correctly. And Chair, I must start by conceding that we must agree that local government space is highly politicized, and it is evident to this when I address the questions that were raised by Honorable Matafa. He speaks about, have we reached a final submission of whether local government needs to be professionalized or not? And I think this question is raised because of the understanding that local government is highly politicized in comparison to provincial government and national government. And that is what is making our challenges to be rather complex, Chair. Chairperson, SALGA has, over the years, ensured that it conducts workshops and trainings to your municipal public accounts committees and your finance committees. So as to ensure that there is proper oversight that is done in municipalities. However, what becomes self-defeating is the referee and a player status. I would cite a practical example. In the municipality, you would find that you have an MMC, which is the head of the department. When there is a portfolio committee that is sitting, the same head of department, whom is supposed to be accountable, would still be chairing the portfolio committee. And that person becomes a referee and a player. It becomes difficult to conduct proper oversight over such a person. And that is why we have always encouraged that we must have chairpersons of committees so that we can easily be able to distinguish between the legislature and the oversight. The second point I want to speak to, Chair, is with regards to revenue enhancement strategies. And
Chair, I cannot overemphasize on this point. I'm going to elevate the ESCOM issue for the purpose of this discussion. Electricity distribution is a municipal function in terms of the Constitution. And its revenue, it is the biggest revenue contributor per consumer in cases where a municipality is the service provider. However, ESCOM continues to supply directly to consumers 50% to major energy consumers, despite this being a constitutional municipal function. Local government sector's wide net revenue is foregone by this fact that I have just raised. And it becomes a problem when we want to use electricity cut-off as means of credit control, because we have consumers that are not paying for water, and most of our consumers are applying for subsidies. And I think I should say here that the lack of consumer accounts being paid is an indicator of unemployment amongst our communities. And these are realities that we have to deal with as local government. Chair, the fourth point that I want to speak to that was raised is the one of moving away from public reps being accountable to political parties and being more accountable to the office of the speaker. I should say, Chair, that SALGA is trying to do a study, and as part of that, we attended the Federation of Canadian Municipalities, which are doing this effectively. They are accountable to office of the speaker and not accountable to political parties. And once we've been able to complete on the study, we'll then be able to have a final recommendation that can then be lobbied to municipalities, and we have a submission. So in terms of capacity building, I also want to touch on the fact that provincial government and NCOP need to do more to assist us, because they would always elect to put municipalities under Section 139, which has proven over the years that it leaves municipalities in worse situations than they found municipalities in before invoking Section 139. And provincial and NCOP always elect for Section 139 instead of going for Section 154, which advocates for more support to be given to local governments. And I think it's something that we've always had a discussion on, but it continues to happen. And many of the municipalities that we find that they are in such terrible financial position, you would find that historically they have been over and over again put under Section 139, and it continues to not yield results. So I think I should pause there and allow Melissa G and Ntate Nceba to come in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members, and Councillor Mondlane. I think Councillor Mondlane has covered most of the issues. But without really repeating the questions on my side as well, Chair, and I must also apologize, I've got a low bandwidth, so if you allow me not to put my video on. Just on the issues around, I think there was a question that was raised around the working group and the efficiency of the working group, and that was coming from the issue around the multidisciplinary revenue committee. And Chair, I think I just need to clarify that the MDRC is actually not a SALGA working group. It was a work stream that was basically created out of the recommendations that had been tabled to Parliament in terms of the issues around the electricity distribution and reticulation that were convened through the IMCT to actually see the structural issues in terms of the electricity supply industry. And as a result, based on the findings and the gaps, then the working committee to focus on the municipal finance and the sustainability of it thereof was basically created. Of course, the IMCT is no longer in place. What we have now is a political task that's basically led
by the Deputy President. And I think this question basically also talks to the issue around local government basically not paying creditors in time. And in this instance, I think in the main, through various committees, we've basically been dealing with the issue around the debt owed to Eskom and the debt basically owed to Water Board. And these committees have been created with a mandate to actually come up with a plan in terms of addressing those particular issues around debt owed by municipalities, and of course debt owed to municipalities that run in parallel, so that we know that municipalities are basically sitting with a debtor's book of over 191 billion, I guess against around 40-45 billion that basically owed both to Eskom and basically Water Board. And we basically do report into the technical task team that has basically been created, and then consequently into the political task team. And a number of proposals have basically been in place in terms of the work of the MDRC. It's actually work in progress, and the Water Board related debt has just been lately assumed, I think from late last year, into the MDRC to actually come up with a holistic plan. So we're currently processing those. And I think there was also an issue around the systemic and the structural issues, and I think Councilor Ramadan has basically covered it in the main. But I think amongst the findings in terms of the work that was basically done, and I think around the electricity supply industries, that we see that in areas where municipalities provide the services and they've got electricity as one of the basket of services to effect credit control, their collection rate is actually much higher than those municipalities that do not have that in terms of effecting service control. And of course the legislation does provide for what basically needs to happen when municipality undertakes an external service delivery mechanism. And there have been challenges in terms of the application of Section 78, and lately by what Eskom is basically doing in certain municipalities, like Malusia and some of the proposals that are basically coming. So in the main, those are some of the main issues that we basically around water services and basically electricity services. And there was an issue around the accountability, and I think that we can couple it with the AG's findings and how that has deteriorated basically over the years. And I think we are the first to basically accept that the picture in that particular regard does not look good. But what we have done that's actually different from the previous years is that we are consolidating our efforts between ourselves and basically National Treasury to make sure that we see a much more improved picture going forward. And what we advocated strongly for as Zalga is the invocation of Section 212, where we do encourage National Treasury to basically use the levers actually provided to the respective departments, make sure that we improve compliance generally in local government. And that's why you would have seen that there was a withholding of the disbursement of equitable share to certain municipalities that were basically non-compliant. So that's an instrument that's basically used to basically clean up the sector somewhat, which we support as well that strongly and definitely advocated for. And we really strongly believe that if we continue on holding the respective municipalities accountable together with our stakeholders through the IGR, we should then see a much more improved system basically going forward. And then there's an issue around the conditional grants that was basically raised, and I know this also has been a very spending issue for the longest time ever, and there's appreciation that this can continue, and it does undermine business delivery. And as a result, there's specific focus. I think from a startup point of view, we've also entered into a number of partnerships with international partners from a benchmarking point of view around issues of building capacity. And we started on the water side. We're also part of a much bigger group from an IGR point of view in terms of the war on leaks and bringing in the capacity across the different municipalities in terms of addressing that particular issue and considering the non-revenue water law system as well as from the electricity side. And we believe that we are successful in terms of the interventions that have been implemented. That money that's lost through the lack of capacity from a scale point of view, as well from a AEG infrastructure. Definitely a backlog in that particular regard, and hence there's been an increase in terms of the conditional grant allocation, and definitely we will work with our member municipalities to make sure that the underperformance in terms of expenditure doesn't continue at this level, in terms of making sure that we put things in. So there's definitely a clear focus in terms of that, and appreciation that we need to move with speed around working with our partners in the IGR space in terms of improving and as well as the municipality. There was a issue around the local government equitable share and the discussions around the budget forum. I think it has been indicated in the presentation that the second leg of the discussion around the infrastructure and the sustainability of the sector is basically going to happen in the next few weeks. And the first leg of the budget forum, the quota, it was with the appreciation that as we go through this process around planning, we never really have time to actually discuss policy related issues where the challenges, and then putting our heads together as well through the IGR structures to basically come up with this. And it was quite a fruitful engagement, and even ahead of the preparation of the budget, so that there's a meeting of minds between National Treasury, COPSA, and SALGA as a representative basically of local government. And I think the first phase definitely looked at the revenue work stream, and we also had the expenditure work stream as well, and we also had the powers and function work streams, and there were resolutions that came out of it in terms of taking those further and making sure that we address whatever challenges and come up with solutions as technical teams to the table to the budget forum in terms of addressing some of the issues. And I think in the main, what was starting is that I think two appreciations that we are operating in a very difficult environment. And as much as SALGA has been advocating for an increased allocation to local government relative to the other 2 years of government, is that some of the assumptions that we had envisaged in terms of the white paper of local government around self-financing from municipality point of view have actually not been realized. And I think we did touch on the issue around the revenue under recovery. And as well with the appreciation that at any point in time, the fiscal is basically would be constrained. So even if there is an appreciation that in certain instances there could be a transfer gap basically from the fiscal, it's also dictated what is basically available for allocation to 20 years of government in terms of assisting in meeting their constitutional mandate. But as much as we agree that a non-negotiable is dealing with the governance issues as surfing through the AG report, and for the credibility of the sector, there is no doubt those issues have to be addressed. And I think last year we had even done something through the various portfolio committees that was not necessarily done in the past, where the mayors and the MNCs of finance and the municipal managers and the CFOs were actually called in to come and account in terms of the progress that they are actually making, and especially around the receipt findings around the AG. And with that specific focus, with the government structures, I guess, across the board, we should then be starting to see some improvement in that particular regard around holding the various institutions basically accountable and basically the existing levers as provided by the legislation, even in terms of the departments that are basically responsible for monitoring to make sure that accountability is extracted and consequence management in an event but that basically does not happen. So there's definitely that particular appreciation and argument, I guess, across the board. And then in terms of the technical support funding not yielding results, there's a lot of money that has recently been used by different sectoral departments around technical support. And of course, it's still an issue. So you have to look at the return on investment in terms of that and the fact that it's basically sitting in the problem, that it's not making the kind of impact that it should then be making. And definitely there's a need to just go back to see where we actually are missing the point and how best those resources could actually be deployed in the sector to make sure that we get the kind of results that we would need. And I guess in this, the issue is not even so much about the resources that are being set aside in terms of capacity building, basically in local government, but rather to see why we're not actually seeing the kind of, we're not seeing the kind of results that we would like to see. So definitely we will be reflecting on that. It's an issue that has actually come out in terms of our IGR debate and engagement, and it's basically an issue that we see on our agenda. And then other SALCA support mentalities in terms of the audit outcomes. What we've actually done that we've not done in the past, as much as SALCA has got a program called the Municipal Audit Support Program, which is MAP, which basically would have focused in the main previously around training and especially for NPEC as well to actually put on the oversight role of NPEC so that then there is progress in terms of dealing with the issues that are coming out of the AG. But we have then created a multidisciplinary team that also involves National Treasury and COPSA around the audit outcome so that we can then consolidate our resources and efforts to have a much bigger impact. But I think the theme in the main that we're focusing on now is around extracting accountability and consequence management. And SALCA has basically developed a consequence management framework. But together with our partners through the IGR, and I think it's also in our best interest, given that the credibility of SALCA goes to the sector's credibility, to make sure that there's a follow through in terms of all the plans that we have. Basically, we have put in place. So the collaboration, I think this time around, is a game changer in terms of making sure that we see an improved picture, basically in local government. So those are my responses in covering the responses from Councillor Mondlane. I'm not sure if my colleague Neva has got anything to add, if I could have missed anything, because I think at some point I was missing some of the numbers connected. I'm not sure if it was on my side or their side. But Neva, I can hand over to you quickly to respond if there's anything I need. Thank you.
Through you, Chair. Thank you. No, in fact, the point I needed to make, I see my colleague Kumucho did touch on them. I think I'm well covered in that respect. I have nothing to add at this stage. I thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I assume that it's all the response from your team, Montana, so that I can check from the member, because we are at 10:30, and it's like we still have enough time to can engage on this presentation. Let me check, are there any follow-up engagement from the members? Can I give you the opportunity to come back if you still want to engage on the responses made by SALCA?
Yes,
the person, Honorable Soniana.
The old teacher.
Honorable Oscar.
fine, thank you, Chair.
Okay. But Honorable Kenny, are you still there?
Fine.
So let me give Honorable Lendana.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. Now, it's just to reiterate my question. I feel that it was not answered the manner in which I deliberately asked. Here, Chair, I'm talking of when we are talking of the incapacity or incapability to spend, that why can't it be a crime? Why can't we charge responsible individuals who are employed to do the thing and are unable? Why are we shying away from this? This is the simple question. Put aside the rhetoric. It doesn't been answered the manner in which I did. Thanks, Chairman.
Chairperson?
I didn't see my mic was mute. Can you come in?
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, at first I thought that you were going to call Honorable Zola Mlezana into order when he was answering the Honorable Ntlangwini about the municipalities that the EFF will take over when we after the election. But with that said, Chairperson, I just wanted to touch first on welcoming the report. Although the report, the presentation by SALGA, although it was very skinny, it was very 11 pages, it was not a detailed report. You touched on that a little bit, but I hope maybe you were going to just slam them a little bit that next time when...
You are cut. Honorable Sonyane was cut.
It's not me, it has been your chair. Not me.
Honorable Sonyane. Okay, let's do this, honorable members. Honorable Sonyane got cut whilst on the platform. Let us then, I will come back to her. Let me give Honorable Dipuo Peters to come in the meantime.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I was not going to come back, but I got a bit worried and concerned by the statement that by SALGA that the accountability and oversight model at local government seems to be different. How possible is it that somebody who is an MMC responsible for infrastructure or for social services should be the chairperson of the committee he or she is supposed to account to? And I think now we seem to be pointed to where the like Matagula once said, where the dog is buried. I think this matter must be raised with the Minister of Culture, as well as with the leadership of through the representative of SALGA, with the leadership of SALGA. This is a gross irregularity. You cannot account to yourself. Obviously, agenda items would not be dealt with appropriately, and also issues raised will not be dealt with appropriately, because it would then mean the support team of the chairperson of the committee is a very support team of the MMC. So that in itself, Chairperson, now that we are also going to local government, we should actually look at
Now I understand when they said some of the problems are structural and systemic. This is where we need to be able to intervene. Chairperson, the other thing that I wanted to find out from SALGA is SALGA only able to help municipalities or work with municipalities when they have to collect the feedback and follow-up? What about the issues that I raised about the municipalities that have got ghost workers, the municipalities that have got that are not paying over third parties of workers, but also the municipalities that are truly unable to render services? I've heard the presenter saying with regard to the IPTN, they are calling on the Department of Transport to support the local sphere of government with regards to the IPTN. But if you look at water, and if we saw the roads and other services in municipalities, they are also a very serious concern. I mean, we are sitting here, the president was exposed to sewage that is running in the streets in an area called Waterfront in Kimberley. We've got a serious situation in Mahareng municipality, which is Warrington, where there is no water. And people have got serious problem of access to water. Serious problem in Salt Lake City municipality, where the water is not of good quality. People's appliances like washing machines have been clogged by floods or mud that comes in. We are always told about floods, but the flood has got nothing to do with the quality of water that the people get. And I think it is important that through SALGA we get, I don't know if Lisa is still in existence, but I remember during the time of Sien Zamanji when there was engineers, qualified engineers, seconded to municipalities to help them. But municipalities actually chucked out those engineers because they were not showing the line as the officials who are supposed to be supporting MMCs are actually seemingly to be in cahoots with the MMCs and everybody else to make it possible that the system of local government does not work. Because if the system does not work, then it means people can do whatever. So I think it is important that something be done in preparation for the next local government election. If you look at a municipality called Pokwan, there is no road absolutely. If there's a tar, you can actually say the municipality must remove the tar and leave the people with their gravel road. And I think it is important that we deal with these particular issues and we actually face the challenges head on. The issue of capacity and capability has been raised consistently. So when are we going to once and for all get the capacity of municipalities? The other problem, once you have capacitated those who are there, then local government elections come and they are removed. That is where also the problem lies. I asked a question in the last DORA process, Chairperson, whether SALGA is convinced that the training that is being offered by different institutions in this country and consultants and training of service providers is the right, adequate, and the best that they can do for the municipality. Because if you train people, and you train them in environments that has got nothing to do what they do on a daily basis, then it is training in oblivion. Thank you very much, Shepard.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dikuo. I think Honorable Sonyana has come back. Let me give her opportunity to make his input.
Thank you very much. I blame Honorable Mlenzana for my network. Chairperson, my first question was that on page 3 on project allocation,
Mr. Naiba Ngoni was speaking about the that there was going to be less revenue collection, obviously because of COVID-19 in the municipalities, and also because of the allocation reduction, they were foreseeing that the municipalities were going to suffer. My question is, now with all of this going to happen, as SALGA, what do they think the solution is going to be? And then I will plus that with the relief package, which you also spoke about, that they were proposing a relief package from the government. And my question to him will be, the relief package is proposing exactly how much does, or does SALGA think they will need to make sure that the municipalities at least manage to do deliveries that they're supposed to deliver. My third question, Chair, would be that on the infrastructure grant, they spoke about putting in place capacity building or measures. My question to would then be to SALGA, what are those measures that they are proposing? Maybe they can tell us at the committee what exactly are they proposing. And then the last one, Chair, was that as another member of ours has spoken about the municipalities that have failed on DORA regulations, my question then is, what have happened to those accounting officers of those municipalities which have failed on the DORA regulations? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sonia. Whilst you are still to respond on the second round of the inputs or clarity, let me also add just one. I know this question or this matter has been, in fact, it has been finalized. The issue of allowing municipalities to get electricity from the independent power producer. I just want to check from SALGA, what is it in the state of readiness of these municipalities? Are there any municipalities who are ready to do this? Because it has since been finalized and given go ahead. So we're just interested in that. In fact, some of the things it is just a repeat on this presentation that the committee actually engaged on last year, especially the issue that has been raised by Honorable Chiefs, the issue of capacity building. We really do want to know what is the problem with these agencies that are being sourced to assist with building capacity building, because we can't continuously talk about capacity building, whereas we can't build any results or make any turnaround. So we are very much interested in knowing what is it that is actually a problem there, because there are so many institutions which are being failed to come in and deal with the issue of capacity building. So let me give SALGA to respond on those few questions that members have raised, that have not been responded. Honorable Matapa, you want to come in with your last
question? Yes, Chair. It's not a new question, but maybe it's just to add to what Honorable Peters was raising about efforts to prevent derailing situations in municipalities. Maybe SALGA, in response to that point, they can share with the committee what has their view been around the pilot project that started in Johannesburg on the implementation of Section 79 of the Municipal Structures Act, whereby the role of the MMC was completely removed from the oversight space. Then we'll have a separate chairperson who will do oversight with their own support team on the department, and the MMC will come with his or her team to respond and account to the committee. When I was still in Tshwane as a councillor, we adopted the same model, and I suspect that the pilot project was mainly in metals. So I'm thinking that maybe SALGA, if there are issues of
affordability by other municipalities, as they lobby for additional funds, can they maybe consider that? So maybe the question should be, have they reviewed the success or failures of Joburg and Tshwane? Ekurhuleni as well is following the Section 79 model. And if they have reviewed, what is their view? Is it something that they can likely introduce to other municipalities to avoid the situation of the referee, the player, and the linesman being one person? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matafa. Let me now give to Mayor Monjana to and your team.
Chairperson, thank you. If you allow me, can I keep my video switched off? Honorable Mlenzana asked a specific question to say, why can't lack of incapacity to spend be a crime, and requested that it be responded as direct as it comes. Now, Chair, I think this would require legislation reform, because as local government, we are obviously governed by local government library, and the MFMA is quite clear on what grounds can you now charge a person. So if we were to ask why can't it be a crime, I think the response should be that we then need to change legislation and change the grounds wherein which a person can be charged for such. Okay, I want to thank Medipuo in the main, as was a comment and way forward, but to come on to say that the same reason that we are losing administrators, good administrators, that now we are left with ones that cannot necessarily discharge effectively the mandate, also applies to councillors. If you can check around local government, term in, term out, there's always a change. There's always a new crop that is coming in. So even if training is effective for a group of councillors that are in, say, the first administration, once they leave, there comes a new group that now has to start learning afresh. And I know it is different in terms of provincial and national government, because you can see same faces serving 2, 3, 4 terms, but it's different when it comes to local government. But I think the suggestion that came out strongly to say we need to finalize the discussion of professionalizing the sphere is the only solution to this. And then there was the issue of capacity building in order to handle infrastructure. What are the recommendations that are coming through? And I think we did try to cover it in the presentation to say that the grant should then be monitored from the DDM model that was pronounced by the president, that the grant should be undertaken by the district development model study and must be monitored in the 21 identified districts to inform future allocations to the next batch of district or intermediary cities to form part of the DDM. And I would like Mayor Khomotso to speak on more on the Section 79 pilot project that was done in Metro, and what has been the discussion in terms of cascading it down to other municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, and for the questions from the Honourable Members. So definitely what we have seen in terms of is just analysing the audit findings for 2018-19 is that generally from an oversight point of view, comparatively speaking, metros have done exceptionally well. And I think they've also come out top in terms of their oversight structures being precisely by just removing it in the conflict of interest, as the Honourable Member has definitely articulated. And there is definitely I think the most important thing is that in the May, the AG found that almost 70% of impacts were basically functional. So there's definitely interventions in terms of the 30% that was basically found not to be as effective as they would have been and where they were non-existent from an accountability point of view in terms of the leaders. But fortunately, we then do have a community of practice in terms of the impacts, the way they've been executed and implemented in metros, that could then be replicated through the other municipalities that are basically struggling. And out of mass, then the focus is precisely then around the overall training program of oversight committees to basically deal with the structures of impacts, as well as the skills that are basically required to be effective around oversight. So there's definitely a specific focus on that, honorable members. The issue around the gold workers, and I think coupled with that, I've tried to basically respond to the issue around the payment of creditors as well. I mean, that would include contributions to pension funds and medical aid, and where we've seen those municipalities that are struggling from a financial sustainability point of view, there's a general collapse in terms of the payment to creditors on time or even basically at all. So the program that we basically introduced and through the MGRC and basically within SAGA is to basically focus on even starting with the top 20 municipalities that are basically struggling and are owing ESCOM in terms of coming up with a turnaround plan around their financial standing. And as it has been indicated, that some of the challenges in those municipalities are systemic and structural in nature. And we've seen through our analysis of some of the top 20 that if you look at their customer profile and the fact that the systems and processes are generally not in place from a financial management point of view and the issues around capacity where you would find that some municipal managers are acting or even in certain instances there's no CFOs. There's a positive correlation between that and the performance of the municipality from a financial management point of view. So there's a focus in terms of the turnaround plans to actually deal with those specific aspects as part of the intervention plan in dealing with the financial standing basically of those municipalities through the multidisciplinary team. And then of course at this point in time in terms of the goals, employees is an area that we basically looking into as SAGA from a system point of view, but the program has basically not been finalized, but it's definitely on the radar. I've actually been confirmed with the colleagues that are sitting on the bargaining council side and basically responsible for governance and capacity building within SAGA. So definitely an area of concern on that particular front, and coupled with the overall governance and capacity building interventions that the team is basically doing. And definitely this time around, I think the difference is using and drilling more into the issues that are surfaced, and the AG has been shining a spotlight on in terms of the general collapse around the management of the municipalities, and so that a differentiated approach is then rolled out in terms of addressing the shortcomings basically in the sector. Around the municipalities that basically have failed in terms of the DORA, and I hope I've picked up the question that was raised, and I understand it in terms of meeting the requirements of the conditional grant. At this point in time, in terms of what's provided for within the DORA, is that the municipalities would then basically whatever allocation that would have been dispersed to them. So as part of looking at the conditional grant framework generally, as it has been indicated earlier on, that among the root causes is the capacity within the municipality to basically spend, and we find that other municipalities was comparatively speaking from a capacity point of view, but within the continuous monitoring of it and working with the municipalities, we've actually held a number of seminars from a training point of view and just to establish the challenges that are then confronted by various municipalities and how they could be empowered and be partnered with the private sector in that particular regard. And those webinars are basically continuing so that then there's a specific focus and monitoring on time, not only at year end when the AGDC comes in and shines the spotlight in terms of the under expenditure related aspect. It's definitely a concern, I think, from our side and even from our colleagues from National Treasury every time we advocate for additional funding, given the issues around spending in local government. So in terms of the ICT and the readiness, so definitely the awareness has basically been raised through SAGA to our member municipalities around the existing legislation and the opportunity for local government to basically participate in terms of the provisions of that particular legislation and what it would mean from an embedded generation point of view as it would change the funding model of municipality as well. So there is an appreciation and a program basically in place that has started being rolled out and training will be provided starting from March. I think the process around the claiming of it and the training program actually started in the last quarter of the previous calendar year. So basically that's continuing and it's actually a key focus area in terms of our annual performance plan as well. So I think that was the last question on that I captured around the ITP. I'm not sure if you never want to come in or anything that we could have basically have left out between myself and cancel that from that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. To you. In fact, I would like just to elaborate on the part talking to the Municipal Budget Support Program. Actually, it's related to the question relating to, in terms of capacity building initiatives that we implement time and time and again. And what is it then that is about whether we will continuously provide this training in perpetuity. However, I would like to emphasize and elaborate further that in the presentation we did refer to our National Executive Committee decision of 8 June last year, emanating particularly from the 2018-2019 MFMA audit outcome, particularly where SALGA has changed its posture in extracting accountability from member municipalities. Now, part of the measures that have been advocated by SALGA in collaboration with your treasury and your sector department, who got like the vested powers, which my colleague alluded to earlier, in reference to one thing that where a municipality, for instance, were to pass which is unfunded, the treasury be able to implement measures to actually withhold the transfer there, such then that until a funded budget is actually passed, as well as to implement the levers that currently exist in legislation that now talks to also the other question, I think that Honorable Lozana had asked. That is to say that where there is a misstep, we need to extract accountability. And so what has happened as part of our broader program of the municipal budget support, we've implemented this, wherein in particular all those municipalities that have had a disclaimer for these opinions or address for these opinions, particularly in the findings where we seek to ensure that those there is consequent management in terms of those missteps that have been identified. So in extracting this accountability, SALGA does not do it alone. In fact, what we've lobbied and as indicated in the example, particularly of treasury, who got those levers enacted in legislation that is to implement. We have lobbied and have begun to as part of extracting the accountability that we seek through to see as well. And in relation to the specific solutions, particularly the reduction of this revenue, note that you indicated that 20 billion relief did not fully cover in the April June period of last year, where municipalities were able to only collect about 20% to lockdown as a result of COVID, versus the comparable period of 93%. Now, as SALGA, we acknowledge the limitation, particularly of the limitation in the fiscal space. Hence, we work hand in hand in participating in the budget forum and all these aspects with the treasury to ensure that whatever that could sustain the fiscal space that the country has and that could be spent elsewhere would then be adequate, would go a long way in covering those shortfalls, not getting into the specific numbers or so. However, as we indicated, that as far as possible to try to cover the extent of the shortfall what has been identified, even though we did indicate that with the study to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, as looking at those four metros, that I think it was about 4.3 billion less what has been collected. So we are mindful of the fiscal space and the first, as well the colleagues from Treasury would indicate what people are closer to the state, being mindful of all of those aspects as well, Chairperson. And in regards to the part about the level of readiness of municipalities to procure energy from IPP. In fact, there are several municipalities. I think the city of Cape Town is one of those that has indicated their readiness to actually procure from those self-generating units outside of ESCOM, which is something that I think from a SALGA perspective is actually promoted. And however, all other municipalities and things from our working group that deals with energy also, it's aspect that it is looking at, it would depend as well on capacity for each of those municipalities. It should not be just one size fits all, because we're trying to solve the aspect of distribution, which are basic in some instances, and utilization in some instances, with the resultant collection. Therefore, so it could not be just for all the 27 or so municipalities that it could be capacity depending on readiness for each of the municipalities. Just to touch on the part that I think Honorable Speaker repeated in the second round of questions, particularly about the post workers, etc. That is the indication of a breakdown in internal control in that municipality, that the preventative controls are not there to detect the existence of valid employees, etc. Now, as part of the municipal body support program, that SALGA, in collaboration with your POCTAs and treasuries, even at the provincial level, is what we do implement in building all the findings as raised by the Auditor General are addressed, and speaking so, where we have provided the necessary capacity, the extraction of accountability measures are implemented so that there is consequence management. I might add again that in line with what I think our leader, Councillor Montlane, indicated, that after every 5-year cycle,
says about the 60% turnover rate of the leadership that's deployed to the local government sector. Now you find that with all these training interventions or so, you find that the institutional memory and the knowledge base get depleted, but that is outside of the safety of the institution as Salga, because the political practice fora to actually deploy whomever they deploy in the various things, in the various structures in terms of the sector. Ours is to actually ensure that then through our counselor induction program, portfolio-based training, which we do roll out through to all the new employees through to the sector, those are conducted. But what we have since done, starting from the 2016, instead of just providing training, that is where people get to certificate of attendance, we have then sought to ensure that all training is actually assessment-based and linked to SAQA unit standards, such then that at the end of the training, someone is assessed and the necessary competence is actually established prior to them, who could be then provided a certificate to say in terms of areas of governance or municipal finance oversight, etc. Therefore, the necessary skill also. So it is the evolution of the capacity building initiatives that we implemented, SALGA, having learned from the previous administration period that we do implement going forward. And one of the things that has been done is all these assessment-based training initiatives. I think I just wanted to allude to that fact that in relation to the preventative controls also, those are measures that are dealt with in terms of the mask in collaboration with both our treasury and the posture of SALGA that was to emphasize is now a focus on extracting and accountability to ensure consistent management. I think we can better.
Thank you very much. Mayor Mondrani, I'm not sure whether do you still have anything to say so that we now wrap up the work.
I'm okay, Chair, thank you.
Okay. So, Honorable Member, I think we are done with the presentation of SALGA that they put all their issues in the form of presentation to before this committee. We have taken note of the areas that they are trying to do as SALGA and other areas that they need more attention by SALGA itself. And want to appreciate for you coming to this meeting today and make this presentation. We want to thank you very much and yourself and your team, and we hope that the work in progress will interact further ourselves as a committee further with the work done. So we appreciate your presence and the presentation report that you have made. So we want to thank you very much for coming to your list. Thank you very much, Memo Zana and the team.
Thank you, Chair.
So, Honourable Members, whilst they are greeting, we are going to, in as far as our agenda is concerned, we are going to be jumping into item number 6. So we are going to be dealing with the minutes we are going to deal with the minutes of the 16th of February. Hopefully members have gone through it the minutes of 16th February. So, so can I then check on the minutes? Can I get the can I get the mover and the seconder of the minutes of the 16th of February?
Mlenzana.
Honorable Mlenzana moves for adoption of the minutes. Can I get any seconder?
I second, Honorable
Mlenzana.
Second to minutes of the 16th of February. Let us, honorable members, go to minutes of the 17th of February 2021, which were sent to and circulated to all members. Can I get also the mover and the seconder of the minutes?
Maria, I will take it, Maria.
Maria moves for adoption of the minutes. Any seconder? Can I get a seconder of the minutes of the 17th of February?
Yes, let me second first. Remember.
Honorable Mungan has second the minutes of the 17th. Honorable Maria, can you switch off your mic, please? Yes, thank you very much. Honorable members, I think we are at item number 7, which is announcement. Darren, are there any announcements?
No, no announcements from my side, Mr. Ekum Chair.
No, thank you very much. It looks like we have finished everything earlier. We'll have sufficient time to prepare to attend the plenary. So let me take this opportunity once more to thank you all the team for attending the meeting and taking part in this deliberation today. So we have come to the end of our meeting. And the meeting is closed, officially closed. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair.